Come to the altar while we have a little respite here, and let's all take some fruit and a palm branch out of the and Diane or Carol, you can help, and then we'll come back to our seats, and then we're going to prepare for the Shema. Hello. It's great. You did what?
I clean up nice when she comes back.
Oh, you look just fine. All right, Dave, why don't you come forward and we'll do the Leviticus reading. All right, and so Dave is going to read us the scripture, and then I'll you know, everybody's got your fruit and your branches, and the scripture has some commands for us. So I want you to think about what you're going to do in relation to what we're going to read right now, which is from Leviticus 23, 33 through 43. Did everybody get fruit? You have to have fruit. You can't Test. Have just branches.
Can you hear it? Test.
Is his mic, is Dave's mic on? Is it turned on the bottom?
It's turned on.
Red light?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, everybody, show me your branches.
Be loud and proud.
All right. Show me your fruit. Hallelujah. Everybody say hallelujah. Because we're probably supposed to say hallelujah about 115 times this week. So I'm going to get you started on the hallelujahs. All right, Dave, let's go for it.
All right. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, On the 15th day of the 7th month is the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. Ye shall do no manner of servile work. 7 days ye shall bring an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the 8th day shall be a holy convocation unto you, and ye shall bring an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a day of solemn assembly. Ye shall do no manner of servile work. These are the appointed seasons of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to bring an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering, and a meal offering, a sacrifice, and drink offerings, each on its own day. Beside the Sabbaths of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your free will offerings which ye give unto the Lord. Howbeit, on the 15th day of the 7th month, when ye have gathered in the fruits of the land, ye shall keep the feast of the Lord 7 days. On the 1st day shall be a solemn rest, and on the 8th day shall be a solemn rest. And ye shall take you on the 1st day the fruit of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It is a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall keep it in the 7th month. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are homeborn in Israel shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the appointed seasons of the Lord.
Amen. All right, so say that verse there about the branches we're supposed to do.
Ye shall, wait a second. And ye shall take you on the 1st day the fruit of goodly trees.
Everybody raise your fruit. All right. And?
Branches of palm trees and boughs of thick trees.
All right, shake your trees. All right.
And willows of the brook.
Uh-huh. We got willows.
And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days.
All right. Let's all say, I shall rejoice.
I shall rejoice.
Before the Lord.
Before the Lord.
For 7 days.
For 7 days.
Today we're going to do it together. Thank you, Dave. Hallelujah. Let's all stand for the Shema.
If you guys can, cue up the Maccabees, Sukkot, shake your lulav. I'll tell you when. All right. All right. Let's just do Shema. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kivod, Malchuto, Leolam Vaed, Viahafta, Ed Adonai Elhecha, בכל לבבך ובכל נפשך ובכל מאודך והיו הדברים האלה אשר נוחים אצלך היום על לבבך ושינתם לבניך ודיברת בם בשבתך בביתך ובלכתך בדרך ובשכבך ובקומך וקשרתם להיות על ידיך והיו לטוטפות בין עיניך וכתבתם על מזוזות ביתך ובשעריך.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, and with all your strength. And you shall have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and upon your gates. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Do we have some more? What's that? Do we have some worship leaders? Some dancers? Be careful, Carolyn. Oh, she's going to sing. Okay, that's okay. That's good. It's still sharp. Everyone beneath their vine and fig tree shall live in peace and be unafraid. Hallelujah. These are scriptures that shall be fulfilled in Israel. Everybody's going to need to come forward, everybody, unless you can't walk. Everybody, come on. We're all going to form a big circle. Hallelujah. You can't see, God said we're supposed to rejoice. So let's do it. All right, here we go. Let's all form a big circle. Beat their right, we're all going to shout when I say 1, 2, 3.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Hey, everybody say hey. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Hey. 1, 2, 3. Hey. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, sing for joy in the Lord and your righteous one.
shall go and draw salvation out of the
waters from the well of salvation.
Water.
Isaiah 12.
Hallelujah. Isaiah 12.
To a lady the other day on the way home from Knoxville, and she was having a gloomy day. She was the news was bringing her down, and the economy and all the not talk. And I said, you know, this is the biblical time of rejoicing. This is when God says the season of rejoicing. And she got happy. All that gloom and doom just kind of lifted off of her shoulders.
Glory.
And she got happy. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
Yes. So this is. What we see with our eyes may look bad, but what we but in the kingdom of God, it's a time of rejoicing.
Yes.
All right. This is a scripture. You've heard it many times.
Yes.
Let's say it together. Give thanks.
Thanks.
To the Lord.
To the Lord.
For he is good.
For he is good.
His love endures forever.
His love endures forever.
We will bless his name as we all proclaim that his love endures forever. Yeshua came into Jerusalem and they all waved their palm branches at him.
Yes.
And what did they say? They said, Hosanna. So let's all wave our palm branches
Hosanna.
And say, Hosanna.
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 Let's reign him king. He is coming.
Yes.
Hosanna.
Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, we lift up your names with our hearts full of praise. Be exalted. Hosanna in the highest.
Great job. Let's give a
yes. To the east.
Alan, wave to the south. Wave to the west. Alan, wave to the north.
Glory, hallelujah. Bless the name of Jesus. Holy. Glory.
Well, you can be seated. We have the. I've never seen anybody dancing that didn't have a smile on their face, unless somebody stepped on their foot. That was a grimace. Tom the Grinch. Praise the Lord. My mic's a little hot up here. My lovely lavalier. My lovely lavalier was a little loud, but now it's just fine. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. We're going to play a game tonight, and it's going to be left side versus right. No, just kidding. Just kidding. No games. We do have hot chocolate, and we have chili. And I don't know if we have s'mores. I don't know. We do have s'mores. Brownies. We got brownies. And we got egg salad. I already said chili. We've got salad and lasagna. We've got food. We have food. F-O-O-D, food. So there's stuff after you get to listen to me pontificate for a little while, then we'll go celebrate. Now, I need a volunteer to go start the fire about 10, 15 minutes before I finish. Anybody besides Xavier like to go? Tom and Carrie, you'll go down? Okay. What's that? I'll give you the signal when to go. All right. Okay. You know, we can turn that big fan down one if somebody wants to turn that a notch. It's a little loud, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like there's a Cessna down on the bottom of the stairway. Don't everyone get up at once. Diane's going to get it. Diane Schwitzing. Can somebody get her a schmata? Can somebody find Diana schmata? She's schwitzing. Please, help her out. Okay, so you're going to learn a little Yiddish here. Yiddish, a schmata is a rag. So, and she's schwitzing means she's sweating. She's got sweat pouring off of her. And so a schmata wipes off the sweat. So we got a schmata because she's schwitzing. Okay? Everybody say schmata. Schwitzing. So Diane is schwitzing. So if anybody has a schmata, bring it to Diane. Okay? All right, let me get my book, and we'll hit the word. Do the what? You want to read Psalm 118? Yeah, we'll do the Lulav song if it's ready. Are they ready? Okay, let's turn the lights out and be entertained for a minute before I preach. So this is a group of Orthodox Jewish guys who are very humorous, and they do a lot of festival-themed videos, and this is one that they did a couple years ago, but don't take this too seriously. Just enjoy it. Can you all see it? Is the bowl in your way?
We're shaking the lulav now. Band down.
Back and forth.
Take it into the sukkah now.
Into the sukkah.
7 days. Branches, yeah.
Ooh,
I shake my myrtle now.
I'm always opening it.
Now I'm feeling the simcha.
I knew you would.
We're shaking the lulav now.
Shaking the lulav.
Front and back.
Six directions.
Take it back to the center now.
Back to the center.
Through the Shem Kito. I got a bumpy little S-robe now. You know it looks so fine.
It smells so good.
It's gonna make some tasty jelly, yeah.
Oh, not a spice.
But during circus, you're mine.
I know you're mine.
Shaking the lulav now.
Shaking the lulav.
Up and down. in the sukkah now.
Into the sukkah.
Get on under the ska.
Under the ska.
Come on, invite the Ushbis in now.
Avram Avinu.
You gotta open your heart.
Open wide.
I'm loving, loving, I'm Yisrael.
The Jewish people.
We're all together now.
All together now.
We'll shake a, shake a, shake a lulav now.
Shake a, shake a, shake a lulav now. Shake a, shake a, shake a lulav now. All right. Praise the Lord.
We've all seen how COVID has hurt our community.
Very good.
And it's so important that we have leaders who will follow the science. But just like Donald Trump, Glenn Youngkin won't listen to doctors.
That was very good.
Glenn Youngkin.
And not only that, it was educational.
What Bible do you read?
It was instructional.
That Bible translations led to many versions of Holy Scripture.
I'm going with
long ago, translators.
Sorry, I'm late, guys. I couldn't figure out what to wear.
How about Tu B'Shvat?
Or okay. Flag Day.
I got one more for you.
Is that even a day?
Because
Groundhog
this
Day.
This is a time of rejoicing for the Jewish people. So,
Guys. Sukkos.
Yeah.
Sukkos.
All right, Sukkos it is. But what are people listening to these days?
Shake your palm, Myrtle Citron, and we love.
That was effective. What happened? All right, everybody stand up for Donnie McClurkin. He's going to shake his lulav. Shake your shake your palm frond, shake your lula. All right, well, why don't we, well, you get that ready. Let's turn the lights on and I'll start and we'll do that at the end, okay? Oh, you got it now? Okay, let's do it. Just need a little sound. Okay, a little sound.
How about Tu B'Shvat?
Or Flag Day. Is that even a day? How about Groundhog Day?
Guys. Sukkos.
Sukkos.
All right, Sukkos it is. But what are people listening to these days?
Shake your palm frond, Myrtle Citron, and Willow.
Hey.
And Willow.
Hey.
Shake your palm frond, Myrtle Citron. And we low, shake your lulav, 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 and it's roll.
Hop on Sukkistar. Sukkistar. Hop on Sukkistar. Sukkistar.
When's the food getting here?
How about we do a video with a script and lines and stuff instead of just singing?
Okay, guys, so what's going to be our next big thing?
What holidays haven't we covered yet?
Sorry, I'm late, guys. Couldn't figure out what to wear.
Now, well, we can't act.
So, any other ideas?
Interpretive dance.
Classical music?
Rap?
I think I got it. The Maccabees have spent the last 2 years singing other people's music. Maybe it's finally time to write some of our own.
Woo! I know. Jews have a lot more fun than people know. We're a fun people. Oh. Hallelujah. Well, Aja sent us, I did read it last on Shabbat, but not too many people were here. She sent us a card, and I want to, I guess it's sitting here, so I'll read it. Try to read it again. I tried to read it last time. It's kind of hard for me to read. So this was on Yom Kippur, and Aja was here, and she said, "Lovely, I miss you all. You and everyone, each one special. Each one has a special place in my heart. It's been a long and painful road," she says. Her back has with much pain and difficulties. Something to go to Sapling Grove, urgent care. I truly today thank you each for very something to me. I don't know. For all you. Do you want to read this? I can't make it out. What? Pray for her and my very close friend. 2 years ago on this night, and this, we had a violinist, a very special violinist, Maurice Sklar, and his wife Devora were here. Maurice is one of the probably the top in the top 10 violinists in the world, classically trained, and at violinists in the world, and he has played with orchestras around the world and symphonies, and he's been here twice, and he was here 2 years ago on this date, and his wife has had COVID, and she's been in the hospital for at least 3 weeks now. Her lungs failed yesterday and they put her on a ventilator, and so I'd like to say a special prayer for Devora Sklar. I was just in communication with her a month ago. She was taking a picture with Mike Lindell, and she was taking a picture with several other celebrities that were at an event down in Texas called Ziklag. And if you know what Ziklag means, you'll know what that event was about. Okay, I'll just leave it at that. I won't get into politics. But you just have to read the biblical story of Ziklag. But anyway, we want to pray for our friend Devora. Maurice is an artist, and you know, I always wondered why musicians are snippy at each other, and they often, you know, trash other musicians, and they take things very personally, and they get very, you know, you see things in the tabloids, and they get upset, and they get offended. They're artists, and artists are known for being very, you know, emotional, and you can get, you know, you don't want to say the wrong thing to an artist. So they also are very, in my experience, because I've brought a lot of artists in to minister here through the years, and a lot of them need their wives or their, you know, they need help in order to do their job. You know, I once had Marty Goetz here, and I've had Marty Goetz several times, but one time he was here and we were in a church because there was such a big crowd. We were in a church, and Marty knocked the credit card machine off the table, was selling his CDs. This is 12 years ago, 15 years ago. He knocked the credit card machine and it smashed on the floor. He said, "My wife's going to kill me." And then I wrote him a check. We went out to dinner after he sang, and I wrote him a check, and he lost it. It blew away in the parking. It blew away in the parking lot. So not only was she going to kill him for the for breaking the credit card machine, but then he lost the check. I had to send another one. So without his wife, Marty's wife, he'd be helpless. And Maurice is one of those guys that just, without his wife, forget it. So let's pray for Devorah Sklar. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you and pray for Devorah Sklar, our dear friend, our beloved sister. 2 years ago on this night, we were at the Carter Fold with her as Maurice was playing on the stage at the Carter Fold with some bluegrass band, and he was fiddling. And it was just a wonderful night that we had with the Sklars 2 years ago tonight. And we just pray for our beloved sister, Lord. We pray that not everybody, although most people die on a ventilator, not everybody does. And we pray, Lord, for a miracle, that you would touch her. We know that he can't continue on without her. And he's just helpless without her. She is his all in all besides you. And we just pray that you do a miracle and touch our friend Devorah Sklar and have mercy on her and heal her. We pray, Lord, for Aja, our dear, precious sister Aja tonight. We lift her up to you as well. And we pray for she has many cats, and she's like a cat. She seems to have nine lives. She gets in these terrible predicaments with her body, and she just comes back. And we just pray, Lord, that you would bring her back and heal her. In the name of Yeshua, in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, now bless this word, bless this message. In the name of Yeshua, of Jesus of Nazareth, amen. Amen. Shalom, everybody. I'm Rabbi Joe. For folks watching online and folks watching on Facebook, I'm Rabbi Joe. This is for Zion's Sake Ministries. And tonight I'm going, and shalom everybody in the room. And I want to welcome Randall is visiting with us tonight. Let's give Randall a round of applause. And Randall, where are you from?
Abingdon.
He came all the way from Abingdon. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What a sacrifice. And and we have Wanta with us from... And Wanta is Dave's wife, and it's great to see her. Welcome, Wanta. Amen. And years ago, I heard about a Thai restaurant down in Roan Mountain somewhere, and I didn't know that I'd become friends with the husband of the lady. I've never been there. I've always said to Dave, "When are you going to invite me to your restaurant?" But he's never invited me. It's never open. I just don't think he wants me to eat in his house. I don't know. Anyway, seriously though, no. Wanta is. I guess Dave said they've slowed down the restaurant a little bit, cut back the hours, and it's hard work, isn't it, Wanta? I owned a restaurant too, so it's a lot. It's very hard work. Dave used to do the work. Oh, okay. Dave's the waitress. Okay, let's turn to John chapter 7. Tonight's message is in the middle of the feast. No connection to in the middle of the road by the Pretenders. But in the middle of the feast. And here in the middle of the road, that would be probably about a possum or something. Anyway, so let's read in chapter 7 of the book of John. in verse 1. After these things, Yeshua, Jesus, was walking in Galilee, for he was unwilling to walk in Judea because of the Jews were seeking to kill him. Now the feast of the Jews, the feast of booths, was near. And that's this feast. That's Sukkot. Everybody say Sukkot. Now, why were these guys, in the video we watched, why were they calling it Sukkot? Who can tell me why they called it Sukkot? Anybody?
No.
They were Ashkenazi. Exactly. Ashkenazis don't pronounce a T at the end of words. They pronounce it as an S. So Shabbat would be Shabbos. Good Shabbos. Whereas Sephardim say Shabbat. Middle Eastern and Spanish Jews say Shabbat. And Eastern European Jews say Shabbos, and Latino Jews say Shabbat, or Middle Eastern Jews say Shabbat. So the same thing, those guys were Ashkenazi Jews, so they were saying, instead of Sukkot, they're saying Sukkot. So a happy Sukkot. I'm an Ashkenazi Jew, and that, so I should say Sukkot. I'm not... I fluctuate in between the two. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I've got a little of both in me. Anyway, there's my handsome son Isaac sneaking in there. Let's give a round of applause for Big Isaac. Praise the Lord. All right, welcome Isaac. All right, so verse 1. So Yeshua is walking in Galilee. And it's verse 2, it's the feast of the Jews, the feast of booths, Sukkot, was near. Therefore, his brothers said to him, leave here and go into Judea so that your disciples... Now, by the way, we're in the middle of this feast. This is Sukkot right now. We're in the middle of the feast, okay? That's why I'm teaching the middle of the feast, because we're in the middle of the feast, all right? And so, therefore, his brothers said to him, leave here and go into Judea so that your disciples... also may see your works, which you are doing. For no one does anything in secret when he himself seeks to be known publicly. If you do... Now, that's interesting. They said, leave here and go into Judea, so in other words, go to the temple and come and celebrate the feast, his brothers were saying, so that everybody may see your works, which you are doing. For no one does anything in secret when he himself seeks to be known publicly. So they were saying of their brother, go to Judea, go up to the temple, and make yourself known to the crowds, because you want to be make yourself known publicly. You want to be well known. You want to be a big star, right? That's the way they saw him. You want to be a big shot. You want to be a star. You want to be a celebrity? You got to go where the crowds are. But in his world, he knew that they would kill him if he came up, because it wasn't just about... He wasn't interested in fame. They didn't understand it. They didn't understand their own brother at this point. Who are his brothers here? Might have been James. We know James is the brother of Yeshua. Doesn't say. We can assume James was one of the brothers here who said this before he was saved, okay? And you know, they're saying, you know, okay, Mr. Big Shot, you want to be famous, go up there. You know, you have big crowds here in Galilee. Why don't you go up to the temple and you know, make yourself known. Be a star, you know? This is what he said. He says, if you do these things, show yourself to the world. For not even his brothers were believing in him. Verse 5. And then verse 6 says, so Yeshua said to them, my time is not yet here, but your time is always opportune. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its deeds are evil. Go up to the feast yourselves. I do not go up to this feast because my time has not yet fully come. My time has not yet fully come. Now, later on we read in the scripture that in the fullness of time, God sent his son into the world to give his life for our sins, right? In the fullness of time. So he couldn't do it before. How awesome is that? That, in other words, it had to be on the at the right time. Everybody say the right time. In the right place. And you know, we all need to be in the right place at the right time. Amen? And we're not always in the right place at the right time. And when you get into a situation like I did the other night, I was driving to see my wife. She was flying from Houston to Knoxville, and she's been away for 2 weeks essentially. And so I drove and I packed and I drove, and I didn't get out of the house till midnight. And I drove till 11 o'clock at night. I got on the road 11:30, and I drove to Knoxville. And I stopped down at exit 4, which is my usual coffee stop halfway to Knoxville, just before you get on Route 40 from 81. And I poured a hot cup of Dunkin' Donuts coffee on my hand. And I burned my hand completely, just burned it. And I have learned a trick in the restaurant business that if you take black tea bags and you boil them, you put them in hot water, and then pour the water out and let the bags cool, and pack the bags on the burn will go away. It's a miracle. Try it sometime. If you ever burn yourself, and you can see there's no evidence of a burn on this hand where I poured the coffee, you just take black tea bags, put them in hot water, drain the water after they make tea, and then let them cool, and then pack them on the burn. Leave them for 20 minutes. You'll never know you had a burn. You'll never know. It sucks the pain and everything right out of it. It's amazing. Don't know how it does it, but it does it. Anyway, so there I am, packing tea bags on my car, and I'm getting in my truck, which I had just filled with gas, and I had forgotten one thing: to take the gas nozzle out of my truck. So I drove off with the gas nozzle in my truck, and I heard this like a almost like somebody cracking a whip, you know, like a whoosh, you know, heard this massive, but it was like much louder because it was fat. It wasn't just a whip, it was this big fat whip, you know, and it went flying out of my truck, and I saw it in my mirror, and it went back around a light pole and started swinging around the light pole, and the gas nozzle was on. I was like, uh-oh. So I stopped my truck, and I had one hand packed with tea bags, so I looked like, oh, yes, master, oh, yes. So I went out, and I grabbed the gas nozzle, and I put it back in the gas thing, and then I got back in my truck, and I was a little shaken, not stirred, but a little shaken, and I got in my truck, and I started to get on the highway. And as I'm pulling on the highway, it's a two-lane ramp. This guy in a little Altima, well, I don't know, compared to my pickup truck, it's a little Altima. Somebody in an Altima zooms up and runs me almost off the road. So I flash my brights at them, like, thank you. It was my thank you. I just flash, just a quick flash. So they slowed down. So I get behind them, and they're going 50 and a 70. I mean, you get on 40, it's a very fast road. They're going 50, and it's like, okay, am I going to mess with this guy? He wants to mess with me, obviously. Am I going to mess with him? And all of a sudden, there's three lanes, and I have a 5.7 liter Hemi. So this 18-wheeler's driving up the middle lane, roaring, and as soon as he just got right past me, I zipped behind him, floored it, pulled into the left lane, and I was gone 90 miles an hour down the road, blew off that other guy, and got away from him. And thank the Lord, one of the next cars I passed looked just like mine. And so I passed him and said, if the guy wants to mess with him, he'll probably mess with that guy instead. So, God provides. What can I say? All right, so let's read on here. So Yeshua says, your time is always opportune. The world cannot hate you, verse 7, but it hates me because I testify of it that its deeds are evil. Go up to the feast. Why was I telling you my story? Because sometimes you find yourself in trouble. Like there was a shooting in Tennessee tonight. People went to the supermarket tonight. There was a shooting They were in the wrong place at the wrong time. Everybody say that, the wrong place at the wrong time. There was a shooting in Tennessee tonight. I found out from my cousin in Boston who called me just before the service to tell me about the shooting and make sure I was all right. I said, Tennessee's a big state. It's 8 hours long if you drive across. And from Memphis to Bristol, it's 8 hours. So I said, no, I'm fine. I didn't even know about it. But thank you for letting me know. And so they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. People who were in the World Trade Center on 9/11 in the morning were in the wrong place at the wrong time. Amen? And so we all want to be in the right place at the right time. Amen? So this is one of God's appointed times. So God says, be in his house on his appointed time. Now, you can't go wrong with God, can you? You can't go wrong to be in the house of God on his appointed time. It's like being in Noah's Ark. It's a safe place to be. Amen? Especially if you're a believer. It's a safe place to be. I mean, I believe that with all my heart. It's probably the safest place to be, is to be where God says to be at his appointed time. And so we are in his house on his feast. And so we're in the right place at the right time. So look at your neighbor and say, I'm in the right place at the right time. All right. Now let's go on here and... So he says in verse 8, go up to the feast yourselves. I do not go up to this feast because my time is not yet fully come. In other words, it's not time for me to die yet. The scriptures must be fulfilled, in other words. And it was not, he came exactly. God's clock is exact. It's precise. We think of nuclear clocks. I think that's actually a nuclear or an atomic clock. That's an atomic clock that automatically sets itself. It's probably, set by satellite or something. I remember buying it. That thing is an atomic clock. I never change the batteries. It I don't know how it does works or whatever. Do we ever change the batteries on that? It's satellite. Amazing. It just always keeps perfect time, and tells me how I'm going over in my sermons. So anyway... God's timing is perfect, and our timing is not always perfect. So having said these things to them, he stayed in Galilee. But when his brothers had gone up to the feast, then he himself also went up, not publicly, but as in secret. So the Jews were seeking him at the feast and were saying, where is he? Why isn't he here? They wanted to kill him. There was much grumbling, verse 12, among the crowds concerning him. Some were saying, he's a good man. Others were saying, no, on the contrary, he's a bum. He leads the people astray. Verse 13, yet no one was speaking openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now that's a very good point right there, verse 13. No one was speaking openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now we're living in a time right now, I want you to think back to the time of the Messiah when the Romans were crucifying people at will, when they were beating, they could stop you on the side of the road, arrest you, they could take your property, they could throw you in jail, and they didn't need to go to, you could just do it whatever they felt like. You were at their mercy. They could trample you with their horses and leave you left to die. It was a brutal world that these men, people lived in. These Jews were ruled by a brutal authoritarian kingdom, empire. The Roman Empire was a brutal authoritarian empire that was cruel, sadistic, and pagan. They hated the God of Israel. They hated anything to do. They hated, all they wanted was the people and wherever territory they ruled to obey and pay their taxes. That's all they wanted, was the people where they ruled to obey them and to pay their taxes. And the Jews My people did a great job of stirring it up with the Romans. And they stirred it up so well, the Romans destroyed them. Now, I'm not condoning what the Romans did to the Jewish people. I will say, though, my people had a part, the Zealots and different groups that opposed the Romans, they had a part in bringing it on themselves. We can bring trouble on ourselves. If I decided to mess with that car the other night, I could have brought trouble on myself. I already had enough trouble with my burnt hand and the gas pump flying around the light pole. You know, I was already in enough trouble. There's probably like a picture of me out there. Anybody know this man? He's responsible for this gas hose wrapping around the pole. At least he paid. All right. So there's a time, listen to me clearly here. And remember when Donald Trump lost the election and are all these prophets, quote unquote, and they're all coming out saying, he'll be back in office in April. He'll be in office that in April passed and he didn't come in office. And then they'll say, he'll be in office in July. Then July came and he wasn't in office. Well, he'll be in by August. Well, August came and he didn't come back in. Now, I'm not saying he's not coming back in 2024, but I just wouldn't put a date on it, okay? Even if I believe that he's coming back, I'm not going to put a date on it until God tells me to, and I'm not going to talk about it because I don't want to bring unnecessary negative attention upon our ministry when I have a job to do. You know, I need to teach people things, and I don't need trouble. You know what I'm saying? I'm not looking for trouble right now. That's not what I'm looking for. Trouble seems to find me. That I won't say it. That doesn't happen, but I don't look for it. So let's go on. So there's a time to be a Stephen, to go out and you know, Stephen just went out in front of all the Pharisees and Sadducees and John chapter, I think it's John chapter, I think it might be 7. Is it 7 or 6? I think it's chapter 7. Where Stephen, it's Acts chapter 6, I'm sorry, or 7. But anyway, Stephen just goes out there in front of all these people, hateful, just murderous Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees, and he just lets it go. He lets it rip, and he gives his testimony one time. Just one time, he gives it all. And they just pick up stones and they just killed him. That was it. He was martyred. You know, Stephen was martyred. And he was chosen to be one of the followers, one of the, you know, the Timothys of the apostles. He was going to be, had he lived, he probably would have been like a Timothy or a Barnabas. That was his destiny. But In God, you know, I guess his time was up. You know, when your number's up, your number's up. And he just let it all out, and I can't say it wasn't God's time for him to do that. John the Baptist did his job. They arrested him for proclaiming the Messiah was coming. They arrested John the Baptist, and they beheaded him, you know. And you know, he said, I must decrease, and Yeshua, Jesus, must increase. So in order for John the Baptist to decrease, they had to put him to death, and Yeshua, that's when Yeshua increased, because they were competing ministries. John wasn't out to compete with the Messiah. He was out to prepare the way for the Messiah. Amen. John was out to prepare the way, not to compete with him. And so when it became a point of contention where some were following John and others were following Yeshua, it was time for John to go. And unfortunately, he became a martyr. But I just say this to you, and you know, I see people on Facebook, I see them on different social media, I see them out and just, you know, the guy from the pillow company, I won't name him, I named him before, you know, he's out there just blabbing, and it's like, dude, zip it. You know, you got a great business, you got a great company, you got a great product, and you got a great cause, but zip it. There comes a time, there's a time to speak, and a time not to speak. And this chapter tells us perfectly. And Yeshua knew his time had not yet come. But it says, interestingly, so there was much grumbling, verse 12, among the crowds concerning him. Some were saying, he is a good man. Others were saying, no, on the contrary, he leads the people astray. Yet no one was speaking openly of him for fear of the Jews. So, but when it was now the middle of the feast, Yeshua went up into the temple and began to teach. Okay, what changed? What changed? Can you turn my mic up a little bit, Carol? Just up here, please. Just a little bit. What changed that all of a sudden it was opportune for him to go up and teach in the middle of the feast? It's a very interesting answer, and I believe it's not in the Bible. It doesn't say it here. But it relates to his first miracle. Who can tell me what his first miracle was? Where was he? He was at a wedding. And he turned water into wine. As his mother said, we're running out of wine. They're running out of wine. We need more. So do your thing. So he turned the water into wine. He said, okay, go and fill these clay pots of water, fill them with water, and then he did his, whatever it was he did, and he turned them into wine. Not only, it wasn't cheap wine either, it was the good stuff. And then in fact, they said, this is so good, he saved the best for last. You know, the head of the wedding, you know, the host of the wedding, said, we've saved the best for last, you know? And so, just this should give you an idea of a Jewish celebration. What do we just watch? We watch videos of Jews celebrating this feast. This is the time of our rejoicing. We read it at the beginning. Dave read it. We were to pick up, take boughs of palm branches and boughs of willow trees and leafy trees, and we're to rejoice. And so you all were rejoicing. It says we're to rejoice. So you were fulfilling the commandment. Amen. And this is the season of rejoicing. No matter what's going on around us, and it is tough. I'm having a hard time. I've been under a lot of attack this week. I had a blood pressure incident this morning. My blood pressure skyrocketed. I had to take a nitroglycerin. I was at the hospital. I mean, you know, I didn't know if I was going to make it here tonight. But I went, slept 2-3 hours, you know, I got myself, Don called some people for prayer, and here I am, you know, because I know I'm in the right place at the right time. And nothing will ever keep me from being in the right place at the right time because God says so. Amen? I have been looking forward to this night all week long. In fact, I asked the ladies in prayer last night, hey, can we do this? Or yesterday I asked Carol, I said, can we do this last night? I was so excited because people were coming. Diane was decorating the sukkah with David, her husband, and Matthew brought stuff to decorate it. He came down a couple days ago, and Carol's been here decorating and probably changing the banners in the room. You may notice, I bet that looks like the work of Carol and Diane, you know, I know certain people that do that work, so I see the festival banners are up, beautiful, looks beautiful, ladies. And I was so jealous. I wanted to come here, but I couldn't get away. I was just dying to get here, you know. I was excited to get here, and just rejoice. I couldn't wait to get here and rejoice. And I couldn't wait to get here tonight. It's been a battle. The enemy's been fighting me to get here for this night. And so I'm so happy I made it. You know, it didn't look like I was going to make it. The doctor said to me today, you're in the hospital, you want me to put you in the emergency room. And my blood pressure was 158 over 89. And the doctors had told me, and it's because of my, partly because of stress, but partly because of my chemotherapy that raises my blood pressure. And the doctors told me, if it ever gets over 160, you're in a danger zone, if it goes over 160. But it wasn't over 160. So I said to myself, I'm going to be okay. I wasn't nervous. I was calm. I was at the doctor's today for something else. They were taking my blood pressure. I had already known it was high. I had taken a nitroglycerin to bring it down because my blood pressure medicine wasn't working. And it was an attack. It was a satanic attack to keep me from being here tonight. And I didn't give in to it. I didn't go to that emergency. If I went to that emergency room, I wouldn't be standing here. And I was determined to be here. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm in the right place at the right time. Amen. So Yeshua... So it's now in the middle of the feast. Remember, water to wine. So what are the Jews doing all week long? The first half of the week, first 3-4 days of the feast, what are they doing? Drinking wine. They are waving their palm fronds and their citrons. Makes a great jelly. Told you that, right? The guy in the video told you that too. Okay? They're waving their palm fronds and they're dancing and praising the Lord. And they're drinking their wine, and they're drinking their brandy, and whatever else they can get their hands on. And they are having one heck of a time, and they're eating the sacrifices, because, you know, Jews invented barbecue. I don't know if you know that. It started with Abraham when we started, having these outdoor cookouts with rams, lambs, bulls, and goats. And we just didn't have a good, I don't know what the secret sauce was in those days. But we were the ones, the first ones doing it. You know, I don't know if we were the first ones, but we were right there with the rest of them, I'll tell you. Well, Canaanites, I mean, they were probably sacrificing children, you know. But we were sacrificing lambs, rams, bulls, and goats. It wasn't pork barbecue, that's for sure. But, so anyway, they were having a good time. Their bellies were full. They were feeling, good from the wine, right? And they weren't thinking about killing the guy who thought he was the Messiah, okay, by the middle of the week. They weren't thinking about killing this guy anymore. They'd let that one go. You know, things pass with time. If you're ever in a hot situation and things are going rough, all things pass. Amen? Seasons. This, everybody say this one. This too shall pass. Whatever you're going through, say that this too shall pass. Whatever it is you're going through, whatever crisis, you're having a fight with your wife, you're having a fight with your kids, you're having a fight with your mother. Oh, gosh, my mother used to love to fight with me. Oh, my goodness. You know, and she just couldn't. 3 days before she died, she wanted to fight with me. I mean, she wanted to pick a fight. She could barely breathe. And she had this look like, man, if I could get up, I'd put two in your mouth and grab you by the neck. And I'm like, calm down, little lady, chill out. You're not well. Just relax. I wasn't going to fight with her. I knew she was dying. But in the old days, I could get in there with the rest of them. That's the way things operated in my family back in the day. We used to settle things by fighting. That's just the way it was. It's the family I grew up in. Amen? What's the difference between a son or a daughter and a bride? Who can tell me? A son or a daughter don't get to pick what family they're born into. A bride gets to choose who her husband is. She gets to say, in Western culture and in Israel, she got to say yes or no to the husband but she's not, wasn't, it wasn't, you know, Isaac didn't have a choice what family he was born into. In fact, I almost named him Taco Bell. And, you know, I was thinking of names for him. I was going to call him Taco. And Josh Tinker. Yeah, Tinker Bell and Taco Bell. But God intervened on their behalf and helped and saved them and gave them proper names. So God was looking out for Isaac, and he still is today. Amen? So he's not... He didn't become Taco Bell. All right, let's move on. So verse 14. But it was in the midst of the feast, and Yeshua went up into the temple and began to teach. The Jews then were astonished, saying, "How has this man become learned, having never been educated?" Well, this is an interesting question. Jesus wasn't educated. Jesus didn't go to a yeshiva. He wasn't trained like Paul, but he knew he kept the Torah perfectly. He knew more than Paul. He in fact went to the temple. He they have to pick Billy up at a football game. That's why they're leaving. I think they're going to pick Billy up. Yeah. Good night. Are you coming back? I'll understand if you don't. Okay, honey. Thank you very much, Carol. Let's give it up for Carol and all that she does. Amen. So Billy has a football game, and she went to pick him up. Okay. So he was unlearned. Now, you've heard it. You remember, and I know you all know, where it said when the apostles were speaking in tongues, and it said, "Aren't these men Galileans?" And Galileans were considered hillbillies. They were considered, you know how the people up north think we're all stupid down here? They think we're all dumb, stupid Trump supporters and that we don't know backwards from front. You know, we don't know, you know, that we're the tail and not the head. I mean, they all think we're idiots here. They think we're uneducated and we're all just a bunch of toothless yokies, you know. But, you know, they're just judging us, you know. And there's a lot of very smart people down in the South, and you know, they make a mistake by judging that way. So anyway, Yeshua was unlearned. So in Israel, this is a very good point. I've been making this point for months. Some of you may remember when I said, if you are from Galilee, you are considered to be a backwards hillbilly, you know, from a real unlearned country boy. And that's what they said of our Savior. They, you know, it says in verse 15, the Jews then were astonished, saying, "How has this man become learned, having never been educated?" And that was a miracle. That was because, you know, he was, what did Yeshua say? He said he only spoke the words of his father. And we're told that in John 14. That Yeshua only spoke the words of his father. And, you know, in John 14, he says, if you had known, verse 7, he says, "If you had known me, you would have known my father. Also, from now on, you know him and have seen him." He says in verse 10, "The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. I only speak the words of my father." So his education was from his father, you know. So that's kind of remarkable that the Messiah was uneducated. Isn't that awesome? Verse 16, "So Yeshua answered them and said, 'My teaching is not my own, but him who sent me.'" There he goes, my father. "If anyone is willing to do his will, he will know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who is seeking the glory of the one who sent him, he is true, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Did Moses give you the Torah? And yet none of you carries out the Torah. Why do you seek to kill me?" And the crowd answered, You have a demon. Who seeks to kill you?" "Who seeks to kill you?" they said. And Yeshua answered them, I did one deed, and you all marvel. For this reason, Moses has given you circumcision, not because it is from Moses, but from the fathers. And on the Sabbath you circumcise a man. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses will not be broken, are you angry with me because I made an entire man well on the Sabbath? And he says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. So don't look at the outward, guys. Look at the inward. Amen? Look at the inward. And it's so hard. So many people that come through here and they look at the outward of this place, and they look at their neighbors, and they look at me. No. What's God doing? What's God saying to you? What's God speaking to your heart? What's God showing you? What's God revealing to you? That's what you should be looking at. Look inward. Look upward. But don't look around. Don't look at the neighborhood. Don't look at the people next to you. Look at what is God doing with you, you know? That's what matters. Okay, let's go on. All right. So verse 25, so some of the people in Jerusalem were saying, is this not the man whom they are seeking to kill? Look, he's speaking publicly, and they are saying nothing to him. The rulers do not really know that this is the Messiah, do they? However, we know where this man is from, but whenever the Messiah may come, no one knows where he is from. Then Yeshua cried out in the temple, because teaching, and saying, you both know me and know where I am from, and I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know. I know him because I am from him, and he sent me. So they were seeking to seize him, and no man laid hands on him, because his hour had not yet come. But many of the crowd believed in him, and they were saying, when the Messiah comes, he will not perform more signs than those which this man has, will he? Okay, so I'm going to stop there for a moment, and I'm going to save the rest for the last day, because he talks about in this chapter the last and greatest day of the feast, and I'm going to save it for the last and greatest day of the feast, which is coming. What day is that? Is that Monday? Is Hoshana Rabbah? So we'll save the rest. But basically, what he was saying to them is, so the message here is, if you really seek, if you seek God with all your heart, if you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, he says. And he said to Peter in Matthew 16, he asked Peter, Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Yeshua said to him, he said, truly, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven revealed this to you. So Peter had really been, you know, Peter had a heart for God. He had a very deep heart after God, and God revealed. So God, if you have a heart after God, he's going to speak to you, and he's going to reveal things to you from his word. Amen? I can stand here and preach the word all day long, and you may get nothing. Because if your heart isn't seeking after God, and your heart isn't right, then it's not going to matter what I say or what I teach. But if you want to know God and you seek him, he will let you find him if you seek him with your whole heart. If your heart, it's all about the heart. And you know, where is your heart with God? You know, where is your heart with God? And that's the question for tonight, really. That's the major question. You know, I'm going to close in a few minutes, but let me just say, this feast Christians don't celebrate this, but I saw a video on Reddit, on somebody showed it on Facebook, of thousands of Christians in Jerusalem at the International Christian Embassy in Jerusalem celebrating this feast. Christians from many nations, and you can look it up on Reddit, it was on Facebook, and they were singing. There were groups from maybe 20 different nations, and they were all singing songs about the Lord in their own language. They were singing to God, and they were doing they were ministering in song. And these were groups from about several many nations. People stream up. Now, why are the nations in Israel every year celebrating this feast? Well, let's look at we've looked at some of these verses, but go to Zechariah 14. Oh, that's in the Old Testament. I was going forward. Zechariah 14. Okay. So in verse 9 it says, "And the Lord will be king over all the earth in that day. The Lord will be the only one, and his name will be one." So he will have been up in the clouds, and he will have come down to fight the enemies of Israel with his holy ones, with you and me. We will have come down from the clouds with him. And it says, and we'll land in Jerusalem. And the Lord will be king, verse 9, over all the earth in that day. The Lord will be the only one, and his name the only one. And the land will be changed into a plain. It'll be graded from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. But Jerusalem will rise and remain on its site from Benjamin's gate. Now, I had a teacher. It says Jerusalem will rise. Everybody say, Jerusalem will rise and remain on its site. Now, I had a theologian who taught me four courses a semester, two semesters, of systematic theology. He was the professor of Jewish studies of Moody Bible College, retired, emeritus. He took me as a private student in 1996 for a full year, and I moved to New York City. I left my job as a sales manager for American Greeting Corporation. I left my job, and I moved to New York City with Jews for Jesus, and I lived with them in Midtown Manhattan. And this famous Hebrew Christian, before there was Messianic Judaism, there was Hebrew Christianity, and his name was Louis Goldberg. And he used to teach that in the millennium, Jerusalem was moved to another location. And I always had a problem with that. I never could really quite answer it until I saw this verse, that Jerusalem will rise and remain on its site. It doesn't move. It just gets bigger. From Benjamin's gate as far as the place of the first gate to the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel to the king's wine presses, people will live in it, and there will no longer be a curse, for Jerusalem will dwell in security. Now this will be the plague with which the Lord will strike all the peoples who have gone to war against Jerusalem. Their flesh will rot while they stand on their feet, and their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongue will rot in their mouth. It will come about in that day that a great panic from the Lord will fall on them, and they will seize one another's hand, and the hand of the one will be lifted against the hand of another. Judah will also fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the surrounding nations will be gathered, gold and silver and garments in great abundance. And so also, like this plague, will be the plague of the horse, the mule, the camel, the donkey, and the cattle that will be in those camps. Then it will come about, listen here, then it will come about that any who are left of all the nations that went against Jerusalem will go up from year to year to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, and to celebrate the Feast of Booths. Wow, that's this feast. So when the Lord returns in the millennium, every year it says, all the nations will come up to Jerusalem, in verse 16 of Zechariah, and they will celebrate the Feast of Booths. That's Sukkot or Sukkot, this holiday. And it will be that whichever of the nations, of the families of the earth that does not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, there will be no rain on them. Now, if the family of Egypt does not go up or enter, then no rain will fall on them. It will be the plague with which the Lord smites the nations who do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Booths. Incidentally, when we finished preaching, when I finished last Saturday, I gave a message on Sukkot. And we went outside to go to the fellowship hall. And as we made our way over, what happened? Does anybody remember? It started to rain. And it hasn't stopped. It's been raining every day since Saturday. I'm not saying it has anything to do with me personally, that I did it. I didn't do anything. I just preached on Sukkot. But it started raining. And it had every day we've had rain since then. Virtually, I think every day we've had rain. Maybe not all day long, but we've had rain every day. Showers. Some days, lots of showers. Okay? Lots and lots of showers. Enough to replenish the cisterns. Enough to replenish the water, the any drought, or make the lawns grow. You know what I'm saying? I don't think anything is a coincidence. I think God is blessing us. Rain is a sign of His blessing. Rain is a blessing. Rain grows crops. Rain provides water for drinking. Lake Mead is drying up in Nevada. Lake Mead is what the main source of water for California, and it's drying up. Look, Google pictures of Lake Mead. You'll see it's down about, well, I read about a month and a half ago it was down about 30 or 40 feet. I don't know where it's at now by the end of August. But we have nice, refreshing water. Interestingly, and we'll talk about it again on Monday, Yeshua said at the end of the feast, and I know I said I wasn't going to talk about it, He said, "If any man thirsts, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water." So this is the feast of water, and He made reference. He said, "If any man thirsts, let him come to me, and out of his belly will flow rivers of living water." So in other words, you drink water that makes you thirsty, but if you come to me, I'll give you water and you'll never thirst again. I will give you a spiritual water that you'll drink of and you will never thirst again. For that kind of water, it's eternal water, amen. He was relating the water to the rain of this feast. By the way, this is the beginning of the rainy season in Israel, so Israel is a desert climate, and if they don't get rain now, if the rainy season doesn't start, they get drought, and when it get drought, then the crops don't grow. And there's famine in the land. Amen? So that's why a lot of prayer for water and rain goes up. And in the time of Jesus, of Yeshua, we'll do it next Monday. We'll have a water pouring ceremony. And we'll pour out water. And they used to pour out water. They'd go down to the Pool of Siloam. The Talmud tells us this. Or Anthony, is it Josephus or the Talmud that tells us about the water pouring ceremony? The Talmud. And they would go down, thank you. They would go down, the priests would make a procession, and they would go down with pitchers to the Pool of Siloam, and they would get water from the Pool of Siloam, and they would process back to the temple, and they would pour out the water as an offering to God. Precious. Water is precious. And they just poured it out because they were giving it to God as an offering, saying, Lord, we take this precious commodity and we give it to you because we know that you're without you, it's not climate change, but it's you who gives us the water, you who sends the rain, you who bring the clouds, you who sustain us. Amen. And that's why, and it was against that backdrop on the last day of the feast that Yeshua said, "If any man thirsts, let him come to me, and out of his belly will flow rivers of living water." Hallelujah. He, he always taught visually. He always used visual things, just like at Passover when he took the cup and he took the bread. This is the blood of the covenant. This is my body given for you. He always used visuals. He used tools, you know, to teach. Just like we're using this, we said this the other day. For those who don't know why we wave branches, I said in John 15, it says, "If anyone abides in me, I am the vine and you are the branches," Jesus said. "If anyone abides in me, he will bear fruit. Any branch that does not abide in me will dry up and eventually will be cast into the fire," it says. "But any branch that abides in me will bear fruit. And he, the fruitful bough, will not be cast into the fire," right? A fruitful bough. In fact, it says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Yeah. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. So we all want to be fruitful boughs. So that's why we carry these branches. We are the branches. So these are a picture of us. And the fruit is a picture of, you know, us before the Lord. We want to have fruit on our branch because we don't want him to curse us like the fig tree and burn us and toss us into the fire. Amen? That's why we don't just wave palm branches. Okay. Now, let's go on here. So what do we see here in Zechariah? All the nations, that's why this is the feast of the nations. And the word for nations in Hebrew is goyim. It also means the Gentiles. Same word for the Gentiles, the goyim, the nations. This is a feast of the goyim, of the nations. All nations will celebrate this feast. Isn't that awesome? That's in the millennium. Now turn to Revelation 7, and I'm going to getting ready to conclude. Revelation 7. Verse 9. "After these things I looked, and behold," this is in heaven now, "after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation, all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes," "clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands, and they cry out with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation to our God and him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" They were celebrating Sukkot in heaven. So I asked you a question last week. I said, if they're celebrating it in heaven, and Jews are celebrating it, and Christians, many Christians, not all, thousands around the world, tens of thousands, are celebrating it now, and Jews, and Messianic Jews, and Messianic Christians, and Messianic Gentiles, or non-Jews, however you want to identify yourself, you know, there's no shame in it. My wife's Scotch, Irish, German, English, I think. But, you know, she's a sojourner. She's Jewish. She's chosen to be Jewish. She's like a Ruth. She has sojourned with me for 25 years, and she says she's Jewish. I'm not going to argue with her. Okay? You know, she tells me she's Jewish. I don't fight with her. I have people say to me who don't sojourn, and they say, "I'm Jewish." And I say, "How are you Jewish?" "I'm grafted in." "Oh, okay." They don't know anything about what grafted in means. They have no idea what a sacrifice it means to be grafted in. It's a sacrifice to be grafted in. But the point is, and let's not get off track, all nations are going to celebrate this holiday in heaven. All nations are going to celebrate it in the millennium, we saw in Zechariah. And many people from the nations are celebrating it now. Why doesn't the church in general celebrate this feast? Let's look at two more scriptures and then we'll go. But I want to ask this question. Why doesn't the church? And I'll tell you, and I was talking with someone in the congregation recently, and we were reading, we're talking about Romans 10, verse 4. And this is part of the reason they don't celebrate it, right here. Romans 10, 4, for Messiah is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. And they read that and they say, the law is over. We don't have to do it. But if anyone just goes another inch further and looks it up in their Strong's Concordance, all you need is a Strong's Concordance. You don't even need some fancy Hebrew translation or English fancy, you don't even need a rabbi. You just get a Strong's Concordance and look up that word end, for Christ is the end. If you look in, I look in my Strong's Concordance, the word is telos, Randall. And telos is the beginning of the word telescope. So the telos, when you're at the gun range or you're shooting a deer, I'm not a hunter, but if you're shooting a deer or a bear or some kind of creature, or you're in Africa shooting a zebra or an elephant, and you're aiming a gun with a scope, if you're aiming a gun with a scope, the telos is the target. You're aiming the animal, or the, if you're just shooting at a target, like at a gun range here, then you're aiming at a target. And the target is the telos. That's what a telos is. It's a target. So in other words, Messiah, Christ, was the target of the Torah. He's what the Torah was aiming at. Not the end of it. He's what it was pointing to. He's the goal of the Torah. You see that? He's the goal. He's the telos. And what is the telescope? The Torah is the telescope. It helps us aim at Yeshua. The telescope helps us aim at Yeshua. It points us to him. It's our telescope. And the telos is the target. Isn't that awesome? And if people would just look that up, and the brother I was talking to about this said to me, you know, he had was listening to a teaching on it or some commentary, and he said to me that the commentator just brushed right over that, just totally skipped it, didn't even deal with that word end, and just treated it, I think, like it's the end of the law, like the law's over with. But what did Jesus, what did Yeshua say? Turn to Matthew 5. Matthew 5. Verse 17. Do not think I came to abolish the Torah, the law, or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you... Now, wait a second here. He said, come to fulfill, right? We're going to be celebrating this holiday in the millennium, right? Have I proven that to you? We're going to celebrate it in heaven, right? So is it fulfilled? It's not. It's not fulfilled. So it says, he did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. But this holiday, this is just one example of thousands I could give you of something that he didn't fulfill yet. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the Torah until all is accomplished. Remember, God's clock is perfect. His timing is perfect, and everything will be accomplished. Verse 19, whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so, the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So he's saying if you keep these commandments and ordinances and instructions, you will be considered greatest in the kingdom of heaven. If you don't, you'll be considered least. Doesn't mean you lose your salvation. It's not an issue of salvation. If you don't follow the Torah, it used to be under Moses, if you didn't keep this feast or if you didn't keep Shabbat, the penalty was death. No longer. The penalty is not death. The penalty is you just miss the blessing. That's what you miss. You're the least in the kingdom. You don't lose your salvation. You're losing blessings. I don't know about you. I want to rack up as many blessings as I can. Amen? It's like a guy racking up touchdowns in football. You want to rack up as many touchdowns as you can. Amen? Or yards, you know. Okay, so let's look at Matthew 28 for a second. This is the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verse 18, and Yeshua came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." Remember I said the nations are the goyim, the Gentiles. "Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." What did he teach? Sukkot, Shabbat, Passover. He also taught them how to follow the law properly. He taught them how they weren't honoring their fathers and mothers properly. They were. You know, there was one scripture, I can't remember where it is, where he rebuked them because they were dishonoring their fathers and mothers. And you know, another situation it's either in Acts chapter 8, it's in John chapter 8, I think, where the woman who's caught in adultery, and in the law, if you were caught in adultery and you were brought before a rabbi or a priest for judgment, the law required that you bring the man and the woman. But in this case, they just dragged the woman. And he wrote something in the sand. He probably wrote the man's name, the guy that they didn't bring, you know. And they knew right then and there that they had broken the law. They too had broken the law because they didn't do what the Torah said. They didn't do what the Torah said. The Torah says if you're caught in adultery, and you can look this up, bring the man and the woman, and they shall be stoned. And that's the punishment. And they were saying, stone her. And he said, "Woman, I forgive you. Go your way." And the men all shrinked back and went away, because they knew whatever he wrote in the sand, that they had not done what the law required. And so in the Great Commission, not just, there's many things in the Torah that we're supposed to do. It says it's okay if your ox is stuck in a ditch on the Sabbath. It's okay to get your ox. So if your car breaks down on the Sabbath day and you're trying to get to the synagogue, fix your car. Amen? You know, pay your employees in a timely fashion. That's in the Torah. Don't sleep with your sister. Don't sleep with your mother. Don't sleep with your aunt. Don't sleep don't commit bestiality. Okay? It says that in Leviticus. Don't lie with a woman. A woman shouldn't lie with a man. Should not lie with a man, and a woman should not lie with a woman. It tells us that in Leviticus. Warns us not to do it. It's a violation of Torah. So people who say they're Christian and they do that sort of thing, they commit sodomy, are violating the Torah. And there's no grace for that. Yeah, there's grace. If you have a problem with that, don't get me wrong, we welcome people to come in here who do that, but if they're seeking to stop doing that, if they're seeking God, if they're just come in here because they want to flounce around and pridefully and show off their lifestyle, that's not what we're about. If you come in here with a sin problem and you really want to deal with it and find God, I'm here to help you, you know. But I can't condone, and I can't condone sin. My sister lives that lifestyle, and I love my sister, and I have a great relationship with my sister. In fact, of all my siblings, my lesbian sister is the closest to me of all. We're the only two that say we love each other. She's been a lesbian living. She left her husband after 26 years, and now she's been living with a woman for 26 years. And I love my sister. And I'm so glad that God made her a lesbian, or that God allowed her to be a lesbian. You know why? It helps me deal with people who live an alternative lifestyle. It helps me to... one time a woman came into my restaurant, and she called the president. This was back many years ago. And it was my president. And she called him a Nazi. This is many years ago. She called my president a Nazi. Well, I was the owner of the restaurant. What was I going to do? Was I going to say, get out of this restaurant? You know? You foul-mouthed piece of trash. Get out of my restaurant. So I said, Lord, what do I do with this woman? She's a customer. She's a customer. How do I handle this? You know what the Lord said to me? Treat her like you would your mother. Pretend she's your mother. Just love on her. Love on her like she's your mother. And that's what I did. You know, I was kind to her. I'm almost done. I was very kind to her, and I listened to her call this president a Nazi. And I served her, and then she left, and that was it. You know, that was the end of the story. So Yeshua said, go therefore in Matthew 28 and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Brothers and sisters, if you are not following what Yeshua taught his disciples to do, if you've added to his word and put things in that he did not teach you to do, why are you doing them? I'm not just saying to the people in this room, I'm saying it to the people watching, to the people online, whatever. If you're doing things, holidays and things that Yeshua didn't do, there was no church when Yeshua walked the earth. There was no church when Isaiah walked the earth. When Isaiah said, from Sabbath to Sabbath and new moon to new moon, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. 700 years before the Messiah was born, the only Sabbath was in the synagogue. There were no churches. So he was saying, you know, when those people came for Pentecost, there were Jews from all the nations, but there were also Arabs, if you read it in Acts 2, and there were proselytes. Proselytes were Gentile God-fearers of the God of Israel. And they came to Jerusalem to worship a feast of Moses called Shavuot. Christians call it Pentecost. But it was a Jewish holiday. They weren't there for Jesus. They weren't there. They didn't know they were going to get saved that day. 3,000 of them. They didn't know it. They didn't know the Holy Spirit was going to be poured out. They were in the right place at the right time. God's appointed time. I promise you, if you come to God's appointed time, and here I've been chucking these calendars. Chucking is another Yiddish word. It means pushing, promoting. I've been chucking these calendars. Everybody say chucking, and don't look at your neighbor when you do it. Say chucking. Chucking. I've been chucking these calendars. I've been promoting these calendars which have the biblical feasts. If you see the pink, these are art calendars from Israel. Beautiful art calendars. They're from Israel. And they have all the biblical feasts, see in the pink, and they tell you when the biblical feasts, but they also have September, October, November, December. If you'd like to get one, you can order one at our ministry, www.forzionsake.org. Just add $3, or $21 mailed, shipped to you. If you want more than one, it's just, they're $18 each, and you can follow God's feasts. You can keep up with them. You can watch online or come be with us. We welcome you. We invite you to come and do what Yeshua said. Teach them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. Amen. Please rise. I want to bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. And I keep forgetting, but we need to take an offering. So at the end, if you would, if you have tithes and offerings, please remember the synagogue where things have been slow, and I always forget to take the offering lately. But there's a box in the back. And if you're online and you're blessed by this teaching and this ministry, please support us. We're going through a very dry season. We get plenty of rain, but financially we've been going through a tough period. So we appreciate your support. If God blesses you through us, through this ministry, then we encourage you to give back. That's how we're here. So, and the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom." May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And may he teach you truth from his word. In Yeshua, our Savior's name. Amen. Chag Sukkot Sameach. Happy Sukkot. And God bless you all. Thank you for watching. Friends on Facebook, we love you. Friends online. And friends here. And for those who are here, there's refreshments down and a campfire outside. And we're going to go in the sukkah. We're actually going to go in the sukkah with our leaves. So grab your leaves. We're going to go in, stand in the sukkah, and we're going to recite Psalm 118, which is customary on this holiday. It's a very special time. We're just going to recite the psalm, and then we're going to have some food and fellowship, okay? So let's make our way. Grab your palm fronds, and we'll go down to the sukkah, and I'll meet you out there. Where's the insert? Thank you, honey. Hallelujah, Sukkot has come.